Hello and welcome to Evolve Pipedrive Podcast, which are all things Pipedrive, sales, apps and Pipedrive Marketplace. My name is Bruce Bignall. I only run Evolve, a technology consultancy based in the UK, working globally, focused on helping businesses get more out of Pipedrive through aftercare, implementation, consultancy and training. We've recently launched our Evolve Sales OS, which has a small list of curated apps to help you sell more and has a free masterclass with over 4 hours of content from experts at Pipedrive, Surf, Just School and Outplay. Today though, I have the pleasure of being joined by George Fitzko, the Director of Partnerships at Reply.io. Reply.io, or Reply, which I'll say from here on in, is a sales conversation and AI-powered engagement platform. I'm really looking forward to this conversation with George for a couple of reasons today. One, because the team at Reply are building a very cool tool for helping with initial outreach, to follow-ups, to mixing and matching different touch points. And I'm keen to uncover some of the insights that they're seeing and predicting for 2024 and beyond, because they're building it. Secondly, because George has experience across many disciplines, from his background in completing a computer science degree, to working in support, teams, working as a product manager, starting Reply as a sales exec, sales manager, and then making the switch in the partnerships in 2021. So, without further ado, George, please can you introduce yourself and Reply to our audience by sharing some of the business problems that you guys are solving?
Definitely. Hi, Bruce. First of all, thanks for such a nice introduction. Hi, everyone. My name is George. I am Director of Partnerships here at Reply. As Bruce mentioned, I've been with the company for, I don't know how many years, since 2016. I joined as employee number 16-ish or something like that in the capacity of a salesperson, and have been with the company ever since. And it's been a hell of a ride, and I'm happy to share what we've learned along the way and some of the things that are waiting for us in terms of what the future holds in sales engagement in general.
I love it. So in terms of you were employee number 16, what does the business look like now, and where are you based? What's the kind of reach and things like this?
Yeah, so my personal story is I moved from Ukraine to Canada in 2016, and the funny story there is, so I came to Canada and started looking for a job in tech sales, because I've been in that area for many years before that. And I found this job, I found Reply, and I started going through interviews and all of that. And only on interview like 2, 3, or 4, I realized that it's also a company that also has roots in Ukraine, where I'm from. So I didn't get far away from my roots. But over the years, we have been expanding globally. Kind of the heart of the company is still in Ukraine. Obviously, because of the well-known events there, a lot of people have moved out for safety reasons since then. But yeah, our founder is from there. A lot of our developers are there. But now we're more global. We have more of a customer-facing hub here in Canada, where I'm based. We have a lot of people in Europe, so we cover pretty much all of the usual kind of markets: North America, EMEA, and a bit of Asia as well.
And is that kind of global expansion based on use cases around things like language, right? So being in Canada, are there French speakers, are French users, in different markets? Is that something that you guys are leaning into as well, or is it all just English speaking?
If I'm completely honest, we are yet to expand to other languages in terms of like languages of the UI. Obviously, we are being used, our system is being used by companies all around the globe, because the language of communication that they're sending to their customers can be any language. But in terms of like the UI language, it's English for now, but certain changes are coming in that regard. I think within the next year or so, it's on the roadmap.
We heard it here first. so what makes a successful Reply customer, and why do people choose you guys?
So it's such an excellent question. Usually, when it comes to sales engagement systems, what what companies are going to try to sell you is this is, you know, we're going to be solving all of your problems. And I'm talking about sales engagement industry in general, not all yeah. companies, which is understandable because people need to sell kind of the bright future. But what they omit in that process and try to catch up on throughout the usage cycle of the platform is then try to educate them on how to properly use it. So if I'm completely candid with you, what makes us a successful reply customer is understanding that this is not a you know, a live hack. This is not a hack at all. This is not something you you know, do once and you're golden. This is a journey. This is a learning, but you come up much stronger, much better, better versed in all things sales and sales automation, because it teaches you how to properly speak to a large numbers of people, a large audience, but in a very customized and personalized manner, yeah. as if each and every message is sent directly to that person. How to treat different scenarios, how to automate different if-then conditions. There's so much learning that can be made. But again, on the surface, it's what we call set it and forget it. You, as long as you understand the basics, you can get started very quickly. But the reason we have a whole separate kind of service component of our business is it's a learning. It's a journey. And throughout the journey, we stay with our customers and we educate and we onboard and we handhold our customers for them to be able to get better and better and better. Even though they eventually may decide not to use our platform, they will know how to do this with any piece of automation software that they like.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think there's something you mentioned there. Well, actually, when you took me through the platform a bit earlier, what you just said there relates to some design decisions, right? And one in particular is making me think of the emails out. So you actually connect your email domains and so if you're going to be cycling your domains, which we would recommend if you're going to be doing anything really at scale now, and we can talk about that if you want to, but this is coming from the individual rep. This is coming from, it's not just a set it and forget it at scale with kind of blanket numbers of kind of prospects that you should know these people or you're reaching out to them for a particular reason, right? And it is coming from you, not a domain that isn't linked to the business, right? So I think from a design decision for the business, that then links back to what you were saying there. You're not promising, look, you just set this and you don't ever work on it again. You guys, the reps, the sales managers, the CROs should be owning this, should be tweaking this either themselves internally as a project, or they work with you guys because of obviously you know what's coming down the pipe, what to prep for. So do you see some more of those design decisions across the business in terms of what you're doing?
Yeah, so first of all, very good observation. It is, it's not about just automating as much as possible for the sake of automating. The way we usually describe it is we're helping you do the same thing you would still otherwise be doing manually. But we allow you to skip that and not spend the whole day doing that, but maybe set it up once. Maybe spend 15, 30 minutes initially, automate the whole process, but still make it look and feel, and this is the key here, look and feel as if I, George, really sat down in front of my computer and sent you this message, this LinkedIn and everything else, because at scale, it's still going to look like I reached out to you directly, and that's where the magic happens, where people want the psychological principle of reciprocity. People want to return the favor, yeah. because they've seen that you've invested some time into learning who they are, and they want to be reciprocal in that regard. There are many design decisions that support that, from like you said, from not being a third party email mass email provider, which we are not, and frankly, on the surface, a lot of the time we are being compared to like marketing automation systems, which I don't have anything against marketing automation systems, but they are designed for a slightly different purpose. Whereas in here, we are doing, again, like I said, doing the same thing you would still be doing manually if you want to convert those conversations into proper, let's say, calls, demos, and then ultimately deals closed. Other design decisions are, we're trying to maintain this balance between user friendliness, simplicity, clean UI versus feature rich. For instance, you've noticed, and in the quick demo that we did, you want to look at your stats. You open the stats window and you see high level, you see everything you need to see, opens, replies, all of those things. But if you dive a little bit deeper, you open additional filters and you can define, okay, so my open and reply rates are good, but what does that mean for this specific cohort of people? Let's say I want to see how well my CEOs are responding versus VPs of sales, which is typically our personal kind of, within reply, our target audience that we reach out to. So we can narrow it down, we can filter the title CEO and look at their open rates over the same period of time and compare it to the overall stats. Many things like that, but again, it's always a balance. We're trying to stay fairly simple to understand. I used to say in the beginning, you need like 15 minutes to get started. Now you probably need half an hour. But then the more and more you get into it, the more of a power user you become, there's so much to uncover, including some of the pretty advanced and exciting AI stuff, which again, I'm happy to talk about as well.
Yeah. An analogy came to my mind where you were keeping it traditional, but moving it on. So there's like how must a farmer have felt when he used to use a hoe to plow a field? How good did he, like, when he got a tractor, he didn't say, I don't want to use a tractor anymore. Or, I don't want to use a horse. He got the tractor and he still did what he needed to do, but he felt he had so much more time to do other things, right? He could then have chickens on his land. He could then do other things. Very bad analogy, and my wife and my colleagues might laugh at me for that one. But it just makes you thinking. There are some traditional routes to sales, and I think what got me thinking about it is when you said this isn't a marketing automation platform. This is sales engagement platform, right? And there is a difference. There are some other points I wanted to bring up with you, right? So if this is a sales engagement platform, prospecting, right? So how should an SDR be thinking about prospecting in 2024?
It's all about the quality versus quantity, to be honest with you, at this point already. Even back in 2016, 2017, when we were just starting out, it was a game of numbers. The more leads, the more whatever you call them, contacts you put into your sequences, just statistically, you're going to get better results if you have a lot of contacts. And the science in this art and science type of combination was to optimize the open rates and reply rates through better copywriting and so on. But now, what I would say is, especially with all of the recent changes to Google's emailing policy, I would say pay closer attention to validating your list. So your list needs to be first valid. First and foremost, you don't want to get too many bounces, because if you do get many bounces, you not only compromise the reputation of the email account that you're using, but also the whole domain. And if it's a primary domain of a business, that's not a good thing. And second of all, it has to be relevant in terms of your research needs to be well thought out, so that these people that you are reaching out to with your potential offer need to be potentially reasonably interested in this type of offer. Because the more of non-relevant contacts you're going to have in that list, the more people are going to be clicking report spam. Mm-hmm. And again, it negatively affects your results. Once those two pieces are taken care of, which we, by the way, we can help with. We have additional supporting features and supporting kind of sub products, if you will, to improve and maintain good deliverability of your email account. The whole concept of email warm up Again, if we're talking about email as a channel specifically, you want to warm up your email and you want to keep it warmed up on an ongoing basis, which is something we actually do with our software package as well. Once that is taken care of, again, the same basics apply that always applied. The copywriting, it has to be relevant. It has to be unique. It has to ideally apply to each and every person individual, which, you know, at thousands of people might not be easily achievable. But with the latest developments in generative AI, that can be done, thankfully, and can be done in reply. We have this AI-based personalization of the first email that, first of all, makes the first email fully unique, as opposed to templated. Mm-hmm. Even though templates might be very useful, you can make it fully, completely unique and different from each and every other email in the list. But second of all, it can, if you have certain bits of information for your contacts, like their LinkedIn URL, we can look at their LinkedIn information, look at certain information, job changes, their interests, and so on. And we can mention that in the first email at scale. Again, typically, and in the past few years, we've been doing the following. We said, if you can afford, open up your what we call preview in our sequences before launching them. You know, take a bit of information and include mm-hmm. it in your email, because that's what driving the highest conversions into conversations, at least. Now we can do that automatically. We can, again, through ChatGPT, through generative AI, we can pull that information, mention that, without you having to lift a finger. And that's kind of the exciting AI part that I was talking about.
Yeah, and I think it just goes down to the key principles again, right? So the exciting AI is one thing, but there are key principles. Good data, you know, validate your lists, you know, get that right. I think gone are the days of... So actually, here's a question. So I just asked there, how should SDRs be thinking about this, but how... As from a sales management level, what KPI should we be asking of our SDRs now? Because it used to be, okay, send this many emails, make this many calls, but you might have a list of 2,000 people. But now we're saying those lists may be 200 people. So how, and I haven't thought too much about this, but what are the type of KPIs that a sales manager should be setting for the team, in because we keep talking about what the SDR, how their life's changing, but what about the sales managers and sales directors?
If I'm completely honest, I wouldn't say too much has changed for sales managers. Ultimately, they are responsible for those numbers and those performance metrics. But that might be different for different kinds of companies. For instance, depending on who they're reaching out to, how much time they can dedicate researching and talking to each customer, whether it's, you know, something very boutique and low level, but much higher return on investment versus like we are, quite frankly, at Reply, we are a relatively low cost software solution that allows people to quickly get in at a relatively low cost. And therefore, sometimes we can't afford to jump on a call with somebody, but we can provide all of the information that they need in a different format. So what I'm saying is call to action may be different. Yeah. So depending on what that call to action is, depending on what a conversion is, sales managers are still looking at reply rates, the number of meetings booked, obviously the conversion of meetings and into paid customers, and yeah, that's what they're optimizing. At least that's what we're doing here at Reply. It's an ongoing journey and still is a process, but yeah, we're getting there, and we're constantly working on how do we make sure that these people are most likely to be interested. And if they are, then how do we make sure that the conversion happens with the highest level of probability, if it makes sense?
Yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, pipeline health, right? Because we can talk about all this email opens, email clicks, how many meetings have been booked, what's the sentiment of those meetings, and what's the velocity that that pipe's, you know, the health of that pipeline, basically. Again, the principles don't change. we have different metrics. We have different ways to measure things, which are cool. But from impacting the business, pipeline health is always key. I wanted to ask, I mentioned it at the beginning, but you were previously, SDR, sales manager, moved into partnerships quite early on. How do you think about the changing role of kind of sales into partnerships? Certainly, and speak from this from your perspective, from like, I guess, in the SaaS world, right? So what is the moving from sales into partnerships? I'd like you to answer it with two hats on. One is for the letting people know that are in sales roles that there is more than one journey to like career path, because I think opening up, a lot of people think that the only career path is into kind of AEs, when actually not everyone is a very good AE. I think that's... some people should probably go into marketing. Yeah, so just open it from that. And then the other side is just what it means for SaaS to have partnerships in that role as well, as a partnership role or department.
Yeah, so thanks for this question. It allows me to kind of stop and think about it, because back when I was switching to partnerships, I did not know or realize that it would become this whole movement on its own. And in retrospective, now I see it's a big trend in the tech industry in general. What I can say, two things. On the one hand, it's not that much different. So if you are in sales and you're thinking about partnerships, you are more or less thinking about the same thing, but with a slightly different angle. So in partnerships, it's all about sales. It's all under the general, at least in my view and how we structure this here at Reply. This is still sales, but not selling Reply in exchange for money. Less of a transactional kind of day-to-day transactional work. Versus more of a selling your solution to people, selling the idea and the advantages of your solution to get other people excited so they want to sell it to their customer base. Mm. And that's the exciting part personally for me. It's been extremely interesting and rewarding for me personally. It's been, I would say, a little bit more kind of creative in terms of the paths that are available in achieving that. So for instance, and a quick plug, we have multiple partnership options, partnership models here at Reply. If you're an agency, we have an agency direction. If you're doing work on behalf of clients, we have an affiliate partnership model. If you want to get some extra income from recommending our solution, we have integration partners, we have kind of high level strategic partnerships with other software vendors. So there's multiple directions. They're all super interesting. I wish there was three or four of me to be able to handle that. So it's always a game of like a struggle of resources versus goals and prioritizing things. But yeah, on the one hand, it's the same thing, but just selling indirectly through channels. So channel sales, essentially. The way it's different is it allows you to kind of step aside from the day-to-day grind of, okay, I have to make this quota, to think of how do I make other parties, other companies, individuals excited enough to want to sell my solution and therefore be happy making money doing that, but also we're unlocking these opportunities of other people spending their own resources. So we're scaling on a much higher scale, scaling our business development and sales activity through these effective, efficient partnerships, which is, again, it's a separate art and a science on its own, we could probably have a separate podcast about this. But yeah, it's been extremely interesting and rewarding, and I'm nowhere near kind of, you know, being at the end of the journey. There is no end of the journey. So yeah, it's extremely rewarding.
Yeah, no, I would second that, and it is a very collaborative space. You know, people, you know, it is, you know, it's probably been around for a long time in different guises. But I would again, the reason I wanted to bring this up is, one, obviously with your background, I know a lot of people that listen to this are either on Pipedrive or considering the switch, and most Pipedrive users are either in the sales team or they're business owners looking to get more from the system and kind of wider tech stack. So partnerships can be a great way to expand your sales career, and or for a business owner to actually, how can we get more from our sales team and in new directions? There's like different growth pots for the year. So I do find that that's why I wanted to ask that question. So what's the future for Reply? So what's on the roadmap for this year? Is it team expansion? Obviously, we've got the sneak peek that other languages are coming at some stage. But what's kind of the main focus and priorities at the moment?
Thanks for asking that. There is quite a few very exciting things that I've been personally waiting for and initiating originally at Reply, because you may know in these types of situations, it's always a struggle between a fight for resource internally, like in a good sense. You want to make sure that the company's following their goals and objectives, but also if your ideas get picked up, it's very exciting. So some of the stuff that you can expect from Reply is, we're continuing to double and triple down on AI, because this is where the whole industry is going. And we've already introduced a lot of things that we've already talked about: personalization, creating the whole sequence, automatically responding to people automatically through generative AI, sentiment analysis. There's already quite a lot, but what we're also doing is we're lowering the bar even more for, I'm talking about the barrier of entry into sales engagement in general. So this, I'm not sure when exactly this is going to be launched, but there's a closed internal beta that I've personally seen, so I can talk about this, of creating sales sequences just from a few prompts. You can basically, through very simple one-page UI, you can define who you are, what your value proposition is, who you want to reach out to, and the system does the rest. It finds you those contacts, because we have that as a component. It writes your whole sequence for you. It launches that sequence. You're good to go within literally a few seconds. It's pretty revolutionary, but so that's one thing that's coming. Another thing is, and also very big, is we're also getting into inbound a little bit more, meaning we've always been a good solution for automating your outreach to your inbound leads. So for instance, let's say you get your contacts from your website that leave their contact information in exchange for something, and you can reach out to them. Very effective, even more effective way than cold outreach, because those people are, by definition, they're more interested because they already know who you are. So yes, we've been doing that for a while, but now we're going into inbound to capture even more of that inbound traffic and converting it into your paying customer, because we're introducing our own AI-powered chatbot with a big focus on, again, highly personalized communication through generative AI, but also very tightly integrated with the rest of the platform. So you may have heard and be using some of those chatbots already. They're pretty popular, but our main advantage is going to be very tight integration with the rest of the automation platform. So you get your contacts, but you also want to get in touch with them and stay on top of and remind them about yourself in a non-obtrusive way with all of those sequences. And that's what we're going to be doing. And again, that's That's going to be available very soon because another internal demo, and I think even external, if there are people listening to this that would like to test our chatbots, that they're already available to early adopters.
Nice. Yeah, that gets me thinking that that's a very cool use case. Again, it's a how else can we, if someone's engaging with your website, if someone's engaging somewhere else, how can we, that there's a term, that the head of David over at Kixi told me about 2 or 3 years ago. He called it sales synchronicity, and I loved how he coined it. And the example was, if as a sales rep you're having your power hour and you've got you're calling for that power hour in the morning and the afternoon, if you're just blitzing the phone, if someone then replies to one of your messages or phones back, do you pick it up? Do you reply? Or do you keep power dialing out to new people? Of course, you pick up the phone and you answer because that it's when they're ready. That's a synchronicity, yes. Right? So, or if they've opened a link, they've clicked an email, I want to know that so I can call them at that moment. So it's not calling when it's good for us.
Yeah.
In that first hour in the morning, last hour in the afternoon, it's when they're ready and that kind of sales synchronicity. So, and obviously lead capture, lead engagement, yeah, wherever we can do that, that's awesome. How does this all work with Pipedrive? Well, we haven't really talked about that yet. So how does the reply platform talk to Pipedrive? Is it native? Is it a no-code integrations? What's the level of integration that we've got there?
All of the above is the short answer. We do have our own native integration, which is, I may have previously mentioned, it's one of our best integrations in terms of the amount of features and the amount of capabilities that you can sync back and forth between the two systems. The reason you want a native integration is it doesn't cost you anything. It's included with the subscription cost, so you're already saving right there. Although, if you're a user of Zapier, Make.com, Integrately, all those other platforms, we also are supported and we can connect to your native no-code integration tool as well. But like I said, our existing native integration is no-code as well. You don't need to code anything. Just plug in your API code, define your integration workflows in both directions. So for instance, you want to pull contacts from Pipedrive based on a certain trigger, based on a certain field or a combination of fields in Pipedrive, bring it into reply. Not only bring to reply, push them into an automation, into a sequence. And then the opposite direction, once things start happening in reply, once we define their statuses like opened, clicked, replied, interested, not interested, booked a meeting, all of those things, push it as a new information, enrich the data of your Pipedrive contact with the new information and update the timeline as well. Just make sure that everything is recorded into the Pipedrive, because if you're a user of Pipedrive, you're probably living in Pipedrive day to day as your main source of truth. Yeah. So everything is synchronized nice and synchronized between the two systems without too much effort.
Yeah, nice. It just allows you to have a little bit of forethought. Where do you want to master your data? Is it going to Pipedrive and then going out? Or are you going to have your prospecting pool, you know, sales engagement platform as your prospecting pool, and then those engaged leads pushing to Pipedrive? It's a decision to make where you want to master your data, right? So that's very cool. Thank you for that. That's really good. We'll have links in below for our demo and for kind of trial links and things like that in the description below, whether you're listening to this or watching our lovely faces or George's lovely face. So George, can you tell me a little bit about that switch, that role switch from sales into the partnerships team? So, and how it came about? Was it something that it sounded like you wasn't, it doesn't want to come off as rude. This didn't come as, you didn't see the rollout of the partnerships as being the next big wave in the kind of SaaS space, but who internally was driving that? And how did that role come about?
It's a very, again, I haven't properly kind of sat down and thought about this. So I appreciate you bringing this up because it allows me to you know, at least spend these 15 minutes to reflect. What I can say is it came about naturally for me. And here's why, because I've been doing sales. I've been working with different kinds of customers throughout the years. And the natural progression came to me through agencies. So one of the early initiatives that I launched here at Reply was to work with sales agencies, marketing agencies, whoever has a single client or a number of clients that they need to provide this type of service to, which is to generate leads, to book meetings, and all of that. So we've developed and we've been selling to them as a type of a client first, but then we evolved this whole system into what is now an agency partnership model. So that translated into creating a sub version of Reply with its own set of features, its own pricing, its own advantages for agencies who want to utilize Reply as their main sales engagement system.
And that was something that you saw that you kind of saw that as an opportunity to sell to agencies, and so you did build this out, right? So you saw that as an opportunity.
Quite a lot of people, I have to say, quite a lot of people advised against it.
Yeah.
And again,
who backed you internally? Who said, actually, do it? I think I just give them a bit of a shout out, because I think it is. There was a lot of resistance against kind of partnerships, you know, more traditional selling. A lot of people wouldn't think about it or hadn't been thinking about it.
I have to give props probably to our founder, Oleg, who basically gave me green light. He kind of believed in this initiative. He gave me resources and tools to basically create that agency package. The people that didn't believe it, what they said basically was, you know, agencies will come and go. They're very transactional. They always jump from one to another, which is true to a certain extent. But if you make the best tool, we were probably one of the first, if not the first, sales engagement tool solely focused on agencies. There's quite a lot more now, but we were the first. And, but then over time, that also led to, okay, so we have agency partners. What other types of partnerships we can evolve and develop our affiliate partnership model, which, to be fair, we had before, but was more of a self-serve partnership model through a bit of automation through partnership management systems. Yeah. Shout out to PartnerStack. I started looking into that, got very interested in growing the channel side of things, looking at who became more interested as a partner, companies that were interested in reselling, recommending, referring customers. So it kind of one thing led to another, and that's how I ended up working with partners. Then the department grew from one person to three people, and now we're, I would say, in a very decent place as a partnership department.
Love it. Thank you very much for sharing. It's always fascinating. So as we come to the end, I've got some quick fire questions. You can take as long as you want to answer them, or you can just ring them off the top of your head. So as someone that's in the tech industry, what is in your sales tech stack and why?
Okay, good question. I would say start with Reply, because with Reply and PipeDrive, let's put it that way, because you want to have a system that's been reliable, and I'm talking about not only Reply but PipeDrive, that has been around for a while and has proven to be a reliable and a system that doesn't have any of the struggles of an early stage startup. It's an extremely important thing, because if you're building out a business and relying on third party solutions to as a backbone of that business, you want to go with the best. And then again, that applies to both PipeDrive and Reply. When it comes to Reply, I would say if you're in B2B, even though as much as I would love to see you guys as customers, if you're in B2C, you probably want to go with other routes. Mm-hmm. But in B2B, you want to look at sales engagement solutions that provide the best bang for your buck. And like I said, ideally, they need to exist longer than, you know, half a year or a couple of years. Because there's a lot more under the hood that you will then discover, you know, on the surface, all the promises look good, but then you see emails are not sending, emails ending up in spam, and support is not really helpful or takes a while to respond and all of that. Yeah. When it comes to the rest of the stack, it really comes down to who you're selling to and how you're selling. So if you're an enterprise, going after big enterprise companies, you probably want to have a good quality database. You want to have a subscription with, let's say, ZoomInfo to acquire data, or the like. You want to definitely call people if it's lower volume. You want to be able to call people. Cold calling, as much as people are keep saying that it's dead, it's not. It's just you have to. Be careful with it and also be mindful about it. But you still want to incorporate phone calling into your system. Again, quick plug in reply. We have a dialer, but if you go without reply, there's plenty of solutions that I'm happy to recommend. We are friends and partners with a few of them. But if it's higher volume, if it's more kind of higher volume contact, and you can't afford to get on a call with each and every of your call contacts, you want to maybe focus on the quality. So acquiring a large list of contacts, wherever it is, whether it's in reply or ZoomInfo or otherwise, you want to clean it, you want to validate it, you want to do your research, and you want to input as much personalization as possible. So this is where you might want to look at data enrichment, data analytics, and systems that basically enrich the data with more information that you can use, whether it's what technologies they're using, sales intelligence is what I was blanking on. Sales intelligence solutions to help you be more laser focused on your targets.
Nice. And from reply, what's your favorite use case that you've seen from a case study or that you've come across?
I would be biased towards my agencies and all of my partners, but I love seeing our partners be successful in recruiting their customers. Because that's what I'm preoccupied day to day. I would say these partner outreach strategies that they develop with our help in order to either sell their services in conjunction with Reply or recommend Reply to their customers.
Nice. And top kind of two-prong question, top tip for those getting started with Reply, mm-hmm. and for those that are more, we've touched on it a couple of times, but for power users, any recommendations for power users as well?
For those who start out with Reply, make sure to invest a bit of time. If you're like me, you're probably going to be thinking, I'm just going to click around and just figure out things for myself. That's just the type of person that I am. But make sure to invest some time to either look at some of the educational materials that we send you right away when you sign up, or at least open up the live chat and ask your questions right there. So we pride ourselves and being, we try to maintain this reputation of a sales engagement system that has the best in class support, and that applies to both technical support and customer success departments that do different things but serve the same purpose, helping out our customers. So talk to them with any questions, anything that's unclear, or here's my goal, here's what I want to achieve, how do I do that? So that's for beginners. For power users, I would say more advanced if-then logic, these branched campaigns that we briefly touched on, are extremely powerful to create workflows that don't require too much of your attention, but are, again, laser focused on who matters the most. If somebody keeps opening your emails without replying, send them into another campaign. If somebody replies to you, like we said, the synchronicity, you want to get back to them within ideally seconds, because that's when the interest is the highest. So make sure to create these workflows and tasks and prompts that allow for that. And obviously, if you're an early adopter of new technology, definitely take a look at the AI stuff and the upcoming inbound lead conversion tool. That AI, we're still finalizing the branding, but AI-based inbound lead generation tool with the help of chatbots.
Cool. Yeah, love it. Any Pipedrive feature requests?
Specifically to Pipedrive? Not really. I'll be honest with you. It checks all the basics. Obviously, there's always a million feature requests that everybody has. I know we definitely have them. But we're very happy with our Pipedrive partnership. I actually spoke with them, I think, just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. We're just looking at ways to collaborate even more because, like I said, there's such a good match between who their audience is and who we work with as our customers. I wouldn't say that's something that's severely lacking. It's a very well mature system by now.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. I think they're 14 years old now. I think it might even be.
Oh wow!
I think it's 14 years old. So shout out to the product team over at Pipedrive. So as a self-confessed cardio junkie, what's your cardio? What cardio cup do you like to sip out of? And do you have any adventures or events planned this year?
Here's my cardio trick. I don't know if I'll be able, probably not, but I wanted to quickly change the camera. There's a treadmill over there. You know, this is all an illusion. It's a very messy place right now. But there's a treadmill, and on top of the treadmill, I created like a holder, of, like a tray for my laptop.
Okay.
And you don't have to run. You don't have to be out of breath all the time. Just walk through, walk during meetings, and it's extremely, extremely useful. I think better because, you know, there's blood flowing to my brain and stuff like that. But also, I don't know. Aside from it being super annoying to my colleagues, because I usually do it on internal meetings with my colleagues. That's probably kind of the best thing, the best investment that I could make with this treadmill. Hopefully it's going to get a little bit warmer here in Canada soon, so I can start running outside. But that would be my advice.
Love it. Okay. And any reading recommendations or podcast recommendations that you would recommend people listening to?
I wish I had more time for specific niche type of podcasts, but I'm a big fan of just generally podcasts that are pretty popular that talk about business in general, sometimes politics, business, tech scene in general. Things like, I'm not sure if you've heard about the Pivot podcast. Yes. is my favorite. Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway. What else? There's a few. If there's, I can't think of the top of my head, but I have a few subscriptions that I fairly often listen to. Yeah, and a bunch of entertainment stuff, but that's probably not, that's outside of this discussion.
Whatever you're comfortable sharing, it's all good.
You know, the top ones. I'm not going to be super original here. Smartless podcast, Conan O'Brien is, you know, a very nice, very, yeah, very funny podcast. So that's just for me to relax during my runs.
Yeah, I love it. Very cool. Well, George, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. Was there anything else you want to cover before we finish?
Yeah, if you don't mind, another quick plug, because that's what I live and breathe, partnership programs. If anyone listening to this would like to take a look at our affiliate partnership program, which is commission-based, you can make a bit of money promoting our solution. If you're an agency, also take a look at our agency partnership model. If you're a software vendor, if you're Pipedrive, we're already talking to you, but if you are making software that needs to include sales engagement as one of its components, we also partner on that front. So anything that has to do with sales engagement and you think there's a way to collaborate in any way possible, then you want to talk to me. So reach out, george@reply.io.
Awesome. Love it. And if you have got the time, we'll put the links in the description below for you to click on that as well. So George, thank you. You've been listening to the Evolve Pipedrive podcast. We're talking all things Pipedrive, sales, apps, and Pipedrive marketplace in order to help you grow your business. At Evolve, we're a technology consultancy based in the UK, working globally, specializing in helping scaling businesses do more with Pipedrive and the wider tech stack through implementation, consultancy, and training. If you found this insightful, please let us know what you think. In the comments, hit like, subscribe, share it with someone that you think will find it useful. We value all of your feedback. George, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers, George. Now.